Okay, I'm really happy to introduce Darcy Hirsch, who is a colleague of mine at NJHSA. She works with us and she also works with JFNA. She is a very busy gal. And she and her colleague Rachel Stern are going to talk with us about this new initiative that they're starting that could benefit all of us and our young people. So I guess without further ado, one of you take it away.
Great. Thanks so much, Lisa. Here with my colleague Rachel from JFNA. She's our Director of Jewish Education and Engagement. And the two of us are part of a team planning a fellowship that I hope you got an email about maybe last week from NJHSA called the Jewish Changemakers Fellowship. So essentially, given the fact that, you know, many young people are stuck at home trying to figure out what to do with their summers. Israel trips have been canceled, summer camp has been canceled, internships are canceled. JFNA wanted to come up with a meaningful program for young adults ages 20 to 25 to learn about themselves and their Jewish values and turn these values into action. Hence the Jewish Changemakers Fellowship. It's a three-week program launching on July 6th for, as I said, young adults ages 20 to 25 that will focus on three separate areas. Each week is dedicated to a different area. The first week is on professional and personal development. The second week is dedicated to global Jewry and Israel. And the third week, which is the week that Rachel and I are leading, is dedicated to service and advocacy. One of the components of the program is for participants who will be grouped into cohorts. We're anticipating around 300 participants grouped into about 30 cohorts of 10 people, and they'll go through the program with their cohort. But one of the requirements is that they put together a project, a service project, at the end of the 3 weeks to complete during the summer. That could be volunteerism, it could be advocacy. There's, you know, many different options. It could be education. There's many different options for them, but our service and advocacy week is really dedicated to volunteerism, which is why we wanted to speak with you about how best we can collect service opportunities from your agencies and other agencies that are members of NJHSA to present these to participants as viable options, being cognizant of the fact that we don't want to create additional work for you, or we want to make this as easy as possible. So Lisa offered to convene this brainstorming session to hear from you about where you think our volunteers could be the most valuable and how we can kind of translate their needs and connect you. Let me just explain a little bit about the cohorts. Many of them will be location-based, like the St. Louis Federation may put together a cohort of participants, or the Seattle Federation may put together a cohort. To be honest, agencies, Jewish, anybody can put together a cohort. So your agency could find a group of young people in your community and put them together as a cohort. That said, you know, Hillel's could put together a cohort, or your Birthright trip, you can band together with your friends from your Birthright trip, or your summer camp that you didn't get to see this summer. So some of them will be local and some of them will be spread throughout the country. So that does pose a challenge for volunteer opportunities, although we acknowledge that many of them will have to be remote, whether it's, you know, providing care calls to Holocaust survivors or older adults. That's the only thing I can think of. I'm relying on you for the ideas. But certainly if there's a local group from St. Louis and the St. Louis JFS has a, you know, needs young adults to help deliver meals to isolated older adults, that's something that could be done. But so there's the local opportunity, but then there's also the national opportunity. What else am I forgetting? So the content of the way that the program works is there are multiple required sessions a day that participants have to attend throughout the 3 weeks. And if they complete those sessions to a satisfactory level and complete their service project, they will then receive a $500 stipend. the stipend is for participating in the program, not for volunteering. I got an email question from someone about that. It's not payment for volunteering. It's a stipend for participating in the fellowship, which will they then be able to put on their resume. We are partnering with Repair the World, which does train young people for service opportunities. And I believe Avoda is also a sponsor of the program. Rachel, what am I leaving out?
No, that was a great description. Although the fellowship is 3 weeks, they're going to have additional time to do this project. It's not 3 weeks, and that's their limitation. So, yeah.
So that was my question. So you're saying that it's not a time limited project. How often do they work in the project? Is it that week of service that they're learning about? Or so, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good question. So the program runs for three weeks, starting on July 6th. It ends, the third week of July. We then have a graduation program in the middle of August. So I believe that they must complete their service projects between the end of in late July and mid-August. So there is a 2 to 3 week period where they need to complete their.
Their service project takes place after the 3 week curriculum. Okay.
During and after, it depends. Some of the participants might have other things going on. So we can't expect them to participate in 3 hours a day of our fellowship plus, their internship plus service plus, so we wanted to give additional time where we're not adding, hours into their day for them to be able to do this work.
So that's a great question from Melanie in the chat. We do not provide a background check for the fellows. If you were to have a local cohort that was able to do a volunteer project with your specific agency, then you would need to do the background check. And if that's not possible, then that may relate to the kinds of volunteer projects you suggest.
That's a good point, because it also takes time for that. Yeah.
So, Darcy, are you asking everyone to think about in their own agencies what kinds of projects are available?
Yeah, what kinds of, I know we've all adjusted to working remotely and volunteerism looks a lot different this summer than it has looked any other summer. So I think, we're looking for two things on this call. Your reaction, is this great, we have all these volunteers, or, oh no, I don't know what I would even do with these volunteers. Do you have ideas for general service projects? And the last question is, how would we pull? What would be the best way to pull together a list?
They need your help desperately.
You
Someone
do.
Someone respond.
So I know, and I apologize because I was late, so I missed the beginning. But I am working with the BBYO of South Jersey because we have a ton of teens who would normally be counselors, and now camp is not available, and they are looking for activities and volunteer things they can do. And so if I were to call them a cohort of young people in my area, and it sounds like I connect them with your agency, and then it's becoming a more formalized process. So I've created a list of volunteer activities that they can participate in, but they can pick and choose. It's like a menu of ideas, and they can pick and choose how they want to help our agency. And then are you saying that then being connected through your organization, that there's this end result for them for participating, that they could be paid the $500 by submitting everything that they've chosen to do for our agency?
That's a good question. Yes, but they would need to participate in the entire entire JFNA Changemakers Fellowship Program, which is a 3 week program dedicated to three areas. I know you were late to the call. It's professional. There's a week on personal and professional development. There's a week on Israel and global Jewry, and there's a week learning about service and advocacy. And it's really only after the completion of the 3 weeks of coursework that they would engage in their volunteer project.
Okay, so you went really fast. The first, either service and advocacy. What were the other two? Personal and professional. And what was the
Rachel will put it in the chat. Advocacy.
Okay, great.
And global Jewry. And the way, I mean, for all of you, the way that it works is there's essentially a core session, a 90-minute core online session every single day for the weekday for the 3 weeks. It starts at 12:30. And then there is an elective, an hour-long elective in the afternoon each day. And they do group work in their cohort during that week as well. And so which would be great, the coursework is takes a lot of time, so may prohibit them to do effective volunteering until the end of that 3 week program. Lynn?
Yeah, thanks. Just from the way you're describing it, Darcy, I'm wondering if you shouldn't refashion the program to say, for example, it's a 6 week program, the first 3 weeks are your sessions and your seminars, and then they do 3 weeks of service or something like that. You know, I'm just saying, or like 1 or 2 or 3 weeks of service so that they understand, because it doesn't sound like they're really gonna have much time to offer us to be of service within those first 3 weeks.
That's totally fair. It may help us reconsider how we frame this. The way it's scheduled is the way it's scheduled, but.
I agree with Lynn, because I was fantasizing that my daughter, who has a job starting in August, she could do this, right? But she can't do it because she can't do anything in August because she'll be working. Mm. Right. But I love the idea of it. It sounds like it's coursework, and then it's a practicum, and then it's the, you know, experience.
It's like a thesis project. It's a 3 week course with a thesis project at the end.
What I'm seeing that I think would be of value, I'm Ruth Adelman from Jewish Family Service in Somerset County, New Jersey. One of the things that we've found has worked, because we have a fairly large volunteer program. We're always trying to engage young people, and we find young people are more successful at engaging other young people than older people are at engaging those young people. And the senior shopper program, particularly in response to the COVID pandemic, and a lot of our both Holocaust survivors and other people referred by our county office on aging, we have about 50 people that we serve every month with grocery shopping. And it's not nearly as time consuming as it was now that so many of the supermarkets have grab and go. You just have to be able to place your order online and then pick it up. And then there's a no contact drop off at the senior's residence. So that I'm listening with an ear to, you know, if we could engage a cohort, I don't know how firm you are about the number of 30, but if we could engage a local cohort, they could do this for some period of weeks, perhaps some of them would continue beyond this period. And perhaps some of them would know of other people their age who live in the community, plan to remain in the community at least for a while. And so part of the advocacy could be recruiting others who might do this on a more ongoing basis. We have staff that can do it, but the volume that we've had and the increase in volume related to COVID has made it very challenging for us to meet that demand. So that's my thinking.
Yeah, that's fantastic, Ruth. And to be honest, I mean, we're hoping to inspire a culture of service and continuation. And to be, a lot of these people are going to be at home, right? Like all these college students, they may not go back to campus in the fall. So this could create a cohort of young volunteers for you and your communities.
Yeah.
And I saw the age, you said 20 to 25. So we're not talking about high school kids that are going off to college. We're just talking about
rising college students. Senior and seniors and graduates. Yeah.
Okay.
So I love the shop. Oh, go, Rachel.
I was just going to say, I think this conversation is very generative. So thank you for your thoughts about the program and the project itself. You know, we're still kind of defining the parameters around that. So we really appreciate the feedback here. And I see that Sierra put a list of volunteer remote opportunities in the chat. We're also looking for ideas around that. So we're happy to listen and hear from you.
Lynn? Well, again, it's a question. So we could offer like volunteer opportunities, certainly for the for the cohort to get involved in. Unless I misunderstood, I thought you wanted them to create something as well, like a project. Was that part of their goal, or we can just, cue them into existing needs and they would fulfill those needs?
Thank you for clarifying. You can cue them into existing needs.
Okay.
They need to come up with a project, but their project could be whatever needs, filling whatever needs you have.
Oh, okay. So I misunderstood. Okay. So I thought part of like they had to create something new or different, or I see. So then it is easier to utilize their skills, and have them fit into our needs for sure. That way.
That's great. I mean, perhaps we pull together a list, we create some sort of a template or form for you to input your, what opportunities you may have.
I was just going to say, Ava, I know you're going to talk next. I was just going to say, it seems like there's a lot of opportunity now to create projects around, racial injustice and, all sorts of things that they could really do for the communities and for JFSs, that they could be creative. What do we know? I mean, some of you are much younger than me, but, it's a new generation. So I think there's a lot of potential for cohorts to really do something, great and innovative for your agencies.
Yeah, thank you. And we're applying a racial justice lens to this entire program. So I will tell you, it's just as far as content for the Service and Advocacy Week, it's an arc. We're going to start with talking about Jewish values related to service and advocacy. Mm-hmm. Why are we doing this and why are we doing this now? Then we're talking with tech study. And then we're talking about civic engagement and how do we as actors in the community help others and what kind of privilege goes with that, right? And what kind of, and how do we be effective volunteers during this time? Then we're gonna focus on digging deep into certain issues. The human needs related issues will focus on food insecurity, disability services, and older adults and Holocaust survivors. That doesn't mean that the service projects need to be limited to those areas, but we are going to be drilling down on those topics and highlighting some direct service in those areas, just so that the participants can learn about what's being done on the ground. I mean, many of them, I don't know any college students, but right now I don't know what they know about local Jewish family service agencies and how they're supporting vulnerable populations and what that looks like. So I think this is a really important opportunity to tell them about the incredible work that you are all doing.
Yeah. Ava, did you want to say something? I'm sorry. Ava off. Yeah.
I just wanted to ask, when time comes for the service project, is there a time commitment that you're looking for? We want it to be a 5-hour commitment, or we want it to be a 10 or a 2. It's just thinking that as far as our food delivery program, we definitely need help in the summer, but we wouldn't be able to give them more than a couple hours, a few at most, in one
given. Great question, and I'm going to be totally transparent. We actually don't know yet. We're waiting on those. This is why this conversation is so incredibly helpful, because these questions are the right ones that we need to be.
Great. And then on a personal level, you're really starting at 20, because I have a fantastic 19-year-old who
we're really starting at 20 because we had to have a cutoff somewhere.
Sure.
I have a question. As I'm understanding it, you would be doing some publicizing of this with Jewish service agencies nationally. But you would also want us to do some promotion to try to identify a cohort that are local So we'd both be trying to recruit people. And I guess, you know, you mentioned 30. Is there a number that you would say you would want someone to have? Could they join another cohort that's located in another community, for example, that are doing something like Ava's talking about shopping and I was talking about grocery shopping? Like, could our cohorts in two different communities do something online together to share experiences, ideas, that sort of thing? If, like, let's say I come up with 5 and she comes up with 10, could we join together to get that larger group that you want for the learning part and the connection and the project as a group? Could you just explain what your thinking is about that a little bit more?
That's a great question. So I don't know if I may have misspoken. The cohorts will be of 10 to 12 people.
10 to 12.
Okay. 10 to 12. We're anticipating 300 participants, so maybe as of 30 cohorts of 10 to 12 participants.
Okay.
So she's saying, let's say there are 10 cohorts, a cohort of 10 in Somerset, New Jersey, and there's a cohort of 10 in JFNCS Boston. Can those two cohorts come together, share ideas, that kind of thing? Is that what you were saying, Ruth?
Yes, that's what I was wondering about, right?
Yeah,
that's a possibility. That's not something we've thought of yet, but potentially like to link together all the JFS cohorts, right? Like, what if we could have 10 Hillel cohorts? We would put together a special opportunity for them to come together. Maybe if we have a group of cohorts representing Jewish family service agencies, they get an opportunity to connect. So that's definitely something we can look into. And it's
Darcy, you could potentially, because all of them are going to be learning at the same time, right? They're all part of this class, 300 people together online in the class. So you could get them all together and you could do breakout rooms, right? Like we do, and there could be the breakout rooms for JFS, you know, people who are working in JFSs, people who are working with Hillel, or however you want to do it. There's real potential.
Yeah.
What I was hearing Ruth asking, and I think I misunderstood, but I'll toss it out as a question. What if I promote this in Boston and I find and you find 5 amazing kids in Boston and Ruth is finding 5 amazing kids in Somerset, New Jersey area, but there aren't 10 kids in my area or 10 kids in her area.
Right.
Would that be a cohort that together those two become one? And it's truly a geographic one. It's not a Hillel, it's not a BBYO, but we have these great teenagers in two different areas, and they'd lose out if I couldn't come up with 10 or Ruth couldn't come up with 10.
Yes, it's a great idea. There's no reason why we can't do it. The cohorts are self-assigned. So if you work with Ruth to put together a cohort of 10 people with 5 representing each of your communities, then you would just submit it that way. And then it's up to the cohort to determine their project. So if it's a project where 5 of them, where each of them, you know, volunteers locally with their agency, I think that's great.
Yeah. So if we were promoting this in our local community, we would not be promoting what the task is that they'd be signing up for. We'd be promoting the program, and then you would have an array of assignments that they might be interested in working on. Is that more in line with what you're thinking?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's up to them, right? They're supposed to come up with their project based on what they learn over the 3 weeks.
Okay, that's what I was asking.
Okay.
Lynn, did you have something to say?
Yeah, that's what I was asking. Sorry, I'm in Montreal and I work in the Cummings Center. So it's a center, an activity center for older seniors and adults. And but we also fall under some of the things you were talking about, Darcy, in terms of food insecurity. And we have a drop-in for our Holocaust survivors. And so if the cohort wanted to specifically work with a designated topic, you could always let us know, because we might be able to furnish you the opportunities in that area, right? Because we also are not only delivering food and meals, but we also work with survivors. So, you know, just 2 of the examples you mentioned, I'm saying there might be other things as well. Maybe we could, if those are the areas you're interested in particular, offer you those kind of opportunities for the cohort.
Thank you, Glenn. Yes. So we're going to be sending out, I think, some sort of a form requesting opportunities. So that's a great, that's absolutely what we want. And we will have Canadian participants. I know that the Toronto Federation is putting together a cohort. I don't know who else, but that doesn't mean that participants from the U.S. can't participate in your volunteer project either. So.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they may, to me, like, especially because it's virtual, they could be anywhere and they could help us to benefit maybe how to improve a service we're offering, you know, doing it remotely now. How can we be more effective offering the service now?
You know, that's what I think could work for you guys, even though you haven't asked for my advice, Rachel or Darcy, is that if people don't have to choose their cohort within those first 3 weeks, during those 3 weeks, you can have the opportunity to choose cohorts and, you know, set up all of the different programs or ideas. I mean, some people could come in with a cohort, but there'll be a lot of people who could just don't have a cohort. So you would, during the time, create the cohorts.
Right. So I appreciate, I mean, that does make sense, though. They have to be pre-assigned, given how short the program is. And just, I want to be clear that you can sign up with a cohort, but also if you know a young person who wants to participate and doesn't have a cohort, we'll assign them to a cohort.
Sure.
So that's important to keep in mind. But I also just wanted to respond to Lynn. This may be an opportunity for you to get some expertise from young people who might be able to help you think about new ways to do your work. So that's something too.
Yeah.
We can always learn from them, can't we?
Yeah.
So listen, I want to thank everyone for coming on the call. I know that we have to really be respectful of people's time. And I want to thank Darcy and Rachel for explaining it more to us. And I imagine if anyone has any questions, the emails, Rachel's on it, are in the chat box. So reach out to them and we'll continue to promote it. And if we need to have another conversation with other agencies, I'll keep in touch with you, Darcy and Rachel. Does that make sense?
Great. Yeah, and thank you. It's nice to meet all of you. And thank you so much for taking the time to brainstorm with us.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Everyone.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.